fires the run up. Swing the right leg, and we're underway.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of PWD Podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into another.
Let's have a little fun.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into another.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
I am your host, as always, Matt.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
From the goal line, the 5 and 10 to 15.
Through a hole to the 20, to the 30, outside, to the 40. He may be gone. Midfield, to the 40, the 30, the 25, 20, the 10, 5. Touchdown for Desmond Howard.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into another edition of PWW Podcast.
I am Matt Frelick. Of course, that's Ryan Bowman. Ryan Schoberg to the bottom of me. And this was a later segment, Schoberg, but we're going to hit you right away. Like, what the hell are you drinking there, dude? What's going on?
If you're with us on Sunday, it's the same thing we had on Sunday. It's my local Mankato Brewery, Mad Butcher Citrus IPA. We'll crack one open for the team here and get after it.
Emphatic. Well done. But as I said earlier, I am Matt Frelick. We appreciate you guys joining us. Big show this evening. Huge show. We've been waiting weeks for this to finally give, not only to get to the bye week, guys, and rest up and finally have a healthy team, but give away the Jordan Love jersey. I got to make sure it's within arm reach. I can get there at some point here. But I am Matt Frelick. As always, Ryan Bowman is to my left or right, depending which way you're looking at your screen. Ryan, what's happening? Are you? You said you had an early morning, late evening with the kid.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm not drinking today. I was up very late at night with the young one, as was my partner. So we're both a little bit tired today. And, so I'm just taking it easy. Got through the work day. Excited to talk about some Packers. So I'm just drinking water today, guys.
I'm not drinking either. Normally I have my water. Back in the day, Thursday was a thing. Now I'm just more responsible. I don't have a kid. I don't have an excuse. I really probably should be like Schoberg. But as always, you can hit up Ryan Schoberg as well. We fixed his handle this time. We had him the wrong one last time. But let's get into it, boys. So for starters, let's just set the stage here. We are going into the bye week. The Jordan Love giveaway will be later in the episode. So, of course, it'd be stupid if we just did it right now because then everyone would jump out of it here, right? So that'll be later in the show. There's our Game On Wisconsin friends chiming in. I'm sure they're having a couple, depending who's serving. If Dan Kotnick's running the bar, he's probably going to overserve a few, but, he'll always call a cab. He's good for that. I know that. Jacob Westendorf, of course, checking in, calling us nerds on brand for Jacob.
He's
not wrong. We're literally nerding out right now. But let's go a little bit. Just the last few days, there's been some stuff going on. Let's start it with Damon Snacks Harrison, right? He did the tour of Seattle. I think he came to Green Bay. It seemed like he did. I don't even know if he made it. Did he make it actually?
No, he was scheduled to be in Green Bay on Wednesday, and he met with the Seahawks on Tuesday, and then eventually came to terms to sign to their practice squad, which is kind of an interesting development that, for me, I've been clamoring for Snacks like all off season amongst a ton of other people in Packers fandom, but, we can put it to rest. He's a Seattle Seahawk, and he's the enemy now. So no more courtship of Damian Snacks Harrison for me.
None. Any thoughts on their show? It's odd that he signed to the practice squad and could have been at least a second stringer or at least a first and second down for the Pack.
Does that say anything about his quality of play? At the end of the day, if he doesn't sign to the active roster, he's not playing. So how much would he really help out the Packers right now with the state of their roster? You have a couple guys stepping up in the absence of Kenny Clark being injured. That's really promising for when Kenny Clark comes back. You can have these guys fill part-time roles instead of being expected to fill in for an all-pro type of guy at the nose tackle position. But like I said, how much does that really say about Snacks Harrison right now at this point of his career? He obviously didn't want to play in the cold weather of Green Bay because of his knee issue. So how effective would he really be up here in the bold north?
That's why we have you on the stream and a part of the team, Schoberg. You're hitting us with the weather facts and the arthritis. That is pure gold from you. And as a reporter with a blue check mark, you should be pulling that stuff from you. But I thought it was strange. To go to a practice squad, I know the weird thing is, if anyone knows the Seattle Seahawks defensive line, it's pretty shitty. So, you would think you would have at least made the active roster. That was the surprising part for me. A couple other things happened. Our boy, Reggie Begelton, that saga. I mean, our man, we're trying to get him a job for State Farm, and justifiably so. But he gets cut. Sad, sad, sad. Bolton also gets cut or dismissed, you know, off the IR or whatever. But Begelton's back on the practice squad. Did they cut him? What was the reason behind that? Either one of you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but I mean, you saw Darius Shepherd was more involved in that offense. So I think as far as the call-up guys, there's a lot of trust in Darius Shepherd from his experience last year, his full off season. And Reggie Begelton, you know, I think was called up to be a reserve body with the absence of Alan Lazard and Davante Adams. So, you know, it's nice that he cleared waivers. I think the Packers probably anticipated if they cut him that he would in fact clear waivers and sign him back to the practice squad. So I don't think it's any indictment on Begelton. It was merely they needed the depth for game day. They don't need it going into the bye week. And, you know, maybe they are looking at Equanimeous St. Brown coming back off IR in time for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Bowman's spot on here. This isn't baseball where you can send a guy down and bring him right back up. You have to cut him and give every team in the NFL a chance at picking him up before he can hit the practice squad again. So ultimately, they needed that body, like you guys were saying. Didn't need him anymore. Had to cut him to get him back on the practice squad, and here we are.
Makes sense. It's a little bit of a gamble, you know, calculated risk, if you will, but without his production on Monday night.
Could have been the next Taysom Hill. Come on.
Sorry. I go back and forth. I go back and forth on that all the time. Like, he's not worth $16 million, but hell if I wouldn't be super jazzed and have a Taysom Hill jersey if he was that versatile for us. But I digress. So other than that, they had some tryouts today. Gerald Adams was one, the guy that I was interested in. I believe he was a South Carolina tight end a few years ago. If I'm not mistaken, he was actually on the Giants at one time. May have sustained a knee injury. I don't recall. Brought in a couple other guys, a Big Ten Michigan running back. Just pulling up the names here. But they also – the guy I was interested in this morning that I saw, I don't know if you guys saw it, former Indiana State player. He is a very versatile dude, halfback, tight end, running back, looking for his name. Not sure if you guys saw who that was, but they were kicking the tires on a tryout.
Dominic Daphne, I think, was the guy that they signed to the practice squad, who is he's that fullback, halfback, tight end, kind of athletic freak. I don't want to get you too excited. I don't know if they're going to play him at fullback, but he could potentially be one of those. I think they're trying to get some depth in that versatile chess piece. That, you know, with Josiah DeGuara going down, you know, obviously John Lovett's going to be hopefully more part of the game plan in that role potentially. But, you know, they got to have depth as a versatile piece. And, you know, I think that's what he brings on the practice squad.
It's John Lovett season, baby.
This is what you've been waiting for, man. Come on.
It's got to happen eventually. Like, they're not even the thing is with Mike McCarthy's offense, there at least was the need for a fullback. And now, like, I don't understand Matt LaFleur. Like, dude, he's gone through so many fullbacks and Nathaniel Hackett. It's like insane. So it's like either they're looking for this like diamond in the rough, or they just maybe a fullback doesn't make sense. Or they maybe a guy that's so dynamic and hybrid that like it's just not out there.
I think it's just about five eligibles, right? And if the fullback is the best one to be on the field, then he'll be on the field. But if Jamal Williams is going to go out there and catch eight balls for 95 yards, and he's the best receiving option to come out of the backfield and in that offense, then that's who it's going to be, right? So until like a Kyle Wieschek-like player comes our way, which maybe Josiah DeGuara was before he got hurt, you know, I think you're going to see it mix and match a little bit.
I think you're right. I think while you're up there, Bowman, is he signed to the practice squad then, or did they just bring him in for a tryout?
I heard that he was signed to the practice squad.
Fantastic.
That was the intention there, yeah.
And as I stumbled earlier on the four other guys they brought in for tryouts, Jarrell Adams, tight end of South Carolina, Karan Higdon, former running back for the Michigan Wolverines, Kalijah Lipscomb, wide receiver from Vanderbilt. That was someone that a few people on Twitter were mentioning, that solid dude, kind of versatile. We'll see what happens there. And then Chris Miller, safety from Baylor. Not, you know, they've been bringing a ton of people for practices and tryouts. Nothing's really came from any of those. So just interesting to see a few names that a few people at least recognize. But let's get into a quick recap, guys, or maybe it's a long recap of week one to week four. I believe that when we did our preview, Ryan, I believe both, I think I had the Saints losing, or excuse me, the Saints beating the Packers if there would have been fans in the stadium. I believe you were on the same type of, at least ideology.
I think I called the Packers to win because I didn't think there would be fans in the stadium by then. I think in my mind, I was very pessimistic about the chances of actually having people in the stands, and it's kind of played out that way. So I think it would probably be a much different story if there were fans in there. Like, that's a different game for the Packers in my mind in that environment, probably in both scenarios, potentially with the Vikings and the Saints in weeks one and two. But, you know, you can only play the games that are scheduled in front of you, and you can only go to the stadiums, whether they have fans or not. We don't have fans in two of our home games, and guess what? We won. So, you know, whether or not that's fair or unfair, you know, they don't ask you how, they just ask you how many.
Mm-hmm. And I've thought for the last few months since Ryan and I recorded our, you know, our preview episodes for the season that I was just a completely biased Packer fan, not looking at, you know, objectively. I felt like I was just really just, I had cheese just gooing out of me. I had the whole operation. And at this point they're 4-0. Like, Schoberg, were your expectations 4-0? Where were you kind of before the season started, and where are you sitting now?
So if they're, were to be more of a pessimistic person in this group right here, I would consider me to be that fan.
Okay.
4-0, I was not expecting. I was expecting, no, to be honest, 3-1 or maybe even 2-2. But 4-0, we're sitting really good, even comparatively to the NFC right now. Probably in the driver's seat, if you want to say it, through the first quarter of the season for that one and only bye spot. And that's huge this year because there's not two. So I think as the years go on, if we keep having seven teams in the playoffs, you'll see the statistics really start to favor that number one seed getting to the Super Bowl because they have such a huge advantage getting every game at home and being the only team that gets the fresh bodies coming off the first week of the playoffs. Week one through four recap, we knew this offense was going to take a step forward schematic-wise. We weren't sure if the weapons were there to complement everything. They're there. They're there. Matt LaFleur has shown his ability to scheme in the first 4 weeks, and it has been a treat to watch. Saw a tweet via Zach Cruz today. The Green Bay offense ranks first in the NFL, and get ready for this. This is a long list. First in the NFL in yards per drive, in points per drive, in turnovers per drive, in plays per drive, in time of possession per drive, in drive success rate, in touchdowns per drive, in punts per drive, and three and outs per drive. Green Bay is number one in all those categories. They stay number one. Your defense can be 25 or lower, and you'll still have a chance in every single game.
So what does that mean for all the analytics folks that, you know, were saying that the Packers were primed for a regression because of their win ratio and their schedule and all that kind of stuff? So that kind of goes in the face of what we might have been hearing in April.
13-3, they were winning a lot of close games, if you will, last year. A lot of ugly, ugly games, if you will. Well, that's in year one of this offense where it was still a blended McCarthy-LaFleur offense. This year, Matt LaFleur has really taken out everything and just gone completely new, and it's been a treat to watch. It really reminds me of 2 years ago when the Packers were bad. 49ers came to town for Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. They were really bad, but Kyle Shanahan called a hell of a game. And the final score was like 33-30 or something like that. And
we went on like a last second field goal or something.
Mason
in that
Crosby
game,
field goal. Right? I was at that game. That was
like Nick Mullins in there.
That was a CJ Beathard game. I was at the game. CJ Beathard. Oh yeah, I think he threw. I think it was Mullins, man.
I thought it was Beathard.
I thought he threw for like 300 yards or something crazy in that game.
But that was the best schematic game that I've seen with the personnel presented to the coach. Mm-hmm. And this year, Matt LaFleur has really put himself in that upper echelon with Kyle Shanahan, with Sean McVay, if he's still there. It seems like they've taken a step back as far as their offense goes the past couple of years, but really in that top level of group of play callers in the NFL.
Yeah, nothing was more evident than in this past game, week four against the Falcons. Davante Adams is down. Alan Lazard is down. And, you know, I was thinking about it. We had Dusty Evely on our podcast in the offseason, Matt, and he was dreaming of the three running back set. And we kind of thought like A.J. Dillon would be a part of that. But Jamal Williams, Tyler Irvin, and Aaron Jones have just – you can call him a running back. You can call him a wide receiver. You know, I call them, what did you say, Schoberg? Weapons? Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter.
Swiss Army knife.
Just line them up, and they're going to get it done. Like, I cannot – Aaron Jones, I've seen him be explosive, out of the backfield, lined up. But I was really impressed with Jamal Williams. Like, if he can keep doing that in that role, they can use him so much more than what he's been spelling Aaron Jones. Like, if they can insert that into the offense, then you add in Davante Adams and Alan Lazard when they get healthy. Like, we're already dropping 30 burgers with literally one or two actual wide receivers out there. Wait till we're at full strength, rested off a bye. Like, watch out, Tampa Bay. I don't think that's going to be an easy game for them.
No, and I'm waiting. I saw that comment. I was waiting to chirp in with that. But Janelle's fully aware that I am more fullback. I love the fullbacks, but it's like, dude, eventually, like, one of them's got to stay in the team, Janelle. Like, at this point, if I was buying fullback jerseys, I would have an entire closet full of jerseys, just the fullbacks. I already have a closet full of jerseys, not fullback ones.
So going forward the rest of the season, with DeGuara out, which fullback stock are you buying for the rest of the year?
See, he's not even a fullback to me. He doesn't.
That, in this offense, though, he is. Hybrid role is their fullback.
You're right. At this point, I mean, I'm trying to think what they're really doing over the – I mean, I don't really see a guy on the roster that would fill that role. Love it, like, would make sense, but he's not – he's just not getting the reps, and, like, he never really got the opportunities. But it's got to be Lovett just by the – sheer like numbers, like he's the only one there.
I think they use Sternberger in that move tight end fullback last year, especially like towards the end of the year they used him there. So I mean, that might be a way to get him going too. You know, I know he's had a bit of an up and down start to the season, had a couple drops early on, but then, you know, he's made some nice plays since then. Hasn't been super involved in the game plan, but you know, maybe that's his opportunity this year to insert himself.
For sure. And before we transition to the defense here, and I'm going to give you a few words on offense, let's, you know, we talked about Tyler Irvin, number 32. Is he early before the year started? You know, when we were doing our roster breakdowns, like, is he a running back? Is he a receiver? I say at this point, if he's a running back, let's change his number to 88. Like, let's really get people pissed off that he's got a receiver number. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Change the whole number.
The reverse, like, Ty Montgomery, yeah.
I want to really mess up with people's heads. Like, let's just make it – or maybe single digits for our weapons. Like, that would be something hilarious. But offensively, I've been impressed. Honestly, it's what Schoberg said earlier is just they've reached a new level for this offense. And I think the Kyle Shanahan offense is becoming even more and more prevalent. The Sean McVay, they talked a little bit about the comparison I saw on Twitter on Monday, recapping the Browns, what they've been doing right now. And – with Kevin Stefanski and just the way he's running that zone blocking scheme, the Packers are up there for that too. So, like, that's huge. Like, they're able, and you get that deception, you get those guys in motion, that you're able to, you know, get the linebackers on their heels a little bit. And that's really what it's came down to. So, to be honest, offensively, it's exceeded my expectations. Let's go defense, boys. Defense has been, to be honest, everything that the pessimistic side of me has expected. I've expected there to be really a lack of run defense. There's been zero run defense. It hasn't, you know, I'm optimistic when we talk later on for week six. Like, it's great and all that they are going to get healthy. Like, that's huge. Like, that might help, and that might give me some, I guess, peace of mind until that game is kicked off in Tampa Bay. But really, like, it's crazy. Like, everything you thought that could go wrong besides the secondary has gone wrong. Christian Kirksey got banged up. We knew he was a liability for an injury right there. Bolton's now off the squad. They don't have him there. And just, like, defensive line, Bill Wynn, is he going to do anything? Like, I just – I'm hopeful still that they'll be able to turn it around, but you look at the look at the games coming up, like, later down the road. Tampa Bay's been running the ball okay. You know, Texans, they're in an absolute – they're in a mental pretzel right now. Let's just put it that way. They got J.J. Watt pissed off at their former.
Could we not have traded for J.J. Watt before, you know, Bill O'Brien was out the door? Like, could we not have just been like, we'll give you, I don't know, somebody off IR for J.J. Watt and like a third round pick? Like, he probably would have done it. You know,
more than
we missed,
likely.
We
more
missed
than
our likely. Window. Story.
Right. Sorry, so just... it's like then I no, you're good. So then it's like week 8 Vikings, Niners week 9, Jags have run the ball decent with James Robinson, the rookie, Colts. Like, we talked about this in the previews, Ryan, leading up to the season. Like, is the run defense going to get figured out? And I'm going to throw the tough question to Schoberg. Schoberg, is the tough defense, or is it, excuse me, the run defense going to get figured out at some point throughout the year?
I think the defensive line has shown that they're going to be able to figure it out. But I think a lot of that question lies at the next level when you're talking about defensive linemen generally. For stopping the run, I think with this Packers, it kind of starts on that second level with a lot of inexperience with Christian Kirksey now going down for a couple weeks. We have hopefully Kamal Martin coming back sometime soon. He was the star of training camp, some might say. A lot of people are looking forward to him. He was fun to watch in college, but he's a lot like Christian Kirksey. His last couple years at Minnesota, he was banged up, and a lot of people in Minnesota were not surprised to see him start the season on IR for Green Bay. No one's questioning the talent level there. It's just a matter of staying on the field. For this run defense, though, you have guys like Tyler Lancaster, who's in the middle of a career year. You've got like Montrevious Adams, who's playing way better than he's ever played in his whole career. That's not saying much considering what his career's been up to this point, but he's playing a lot better up to this point. And then you have a guy like Kingsley Keke in his second year, who is really coming into his own, who a lot of people saw coming in the offseason. But I think this will figure itself out once Kenny Clark gets back. He'll eat up a lot of those bodies in the middle that are inevitably just singling a lot of the guys there now and going to the linebackers. So Kenny Clark there will free up a lot of the linebackers as we go forward, creating more plays for Chris Barnes, if that's even possible. Kamal Martin, Christian Kirksey, and Ty Summers.
Bowman, what are your thoughts, man? What do you think? Thank you, Schoberg, for bringing your Minnesota knowledge. I forgot about Kamal Martin. He might – maybe that's the piece they need. But what are we thinking here? There it is. Gary, friend of the show.
Gary chiming in. You know, Martins, Barnes, Summers. And, I mean, listen – as far as the defense goes, I think they started off slow, but I don't think that's a unique scenario around the NFL. If you look at the points being put up right now by offenses against pretty much all the teams, like, defenses are having a hard time. And it was the same thing in the lockout year. Offenses came out clearly ahead of defenses because the lack of physicality throughout training camp. Offenses can still nail down their timing. They don't rely on that physicality throughout the preseason and the off seasons to get dialed in as much as a defense does. So I actually really enjoyed, for the most part, what I saw in the Atlanta game specifically, right? They had some good defensive stands. I mean, 16 points giving up to a team like Atlanta, as far as what they've been doing offensively prior to that game, that's a win. You know, they Za'Darius Smith breakout game, and they're injured. Like, the Packers are really beat up right now on the defensive side of the ball. You got Kenny Clark out. You've got you know, we talked about Kirksey. Kamal Martin was slated to be the starter in next to Christian Kirksey. He's gone too. Chris Barnes has been like a really, really nice surprise. I saw a stat there that he is the top rated rookie linebacker that's played at least 20% of the snaps. That's ahead
draft
of
Patrick Queen.
That's
bro.
What I'm
draft
saying.
Patrick Queen.
Like, that's ahead of guys. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, revisionist history is fine. Nobody knew that Chris Barnes was going to play the way he has, but you know, it's interesting to see him, a guy that was on nobody's radar whatsoever, didn't get drafted, be graded above that. And the tape, it holds up. Like, his tape is good, and he's where he's supposed to be. So, I think I agree with Schoberg that there is talent there. And when Kenny Clark comes back, we have Kingsley Keke back there. You know, Tyler Lancaster has looked good. Billy Wynn looked good in some limited reps in that Atlanta game. So Mike Pettine has shown over the years that if you want to try and beat him with the run game and take 20 plays and get 3 points out of it against this offense, go ahead. good luck. Like, it's part of their overall model that the defense just has to be good enough to put the team into a position to get a few stops and give the ball back to Rodgers, because they're going to go down and score. So I'm not super concerned, but yeah, I mean, guys like Jaire Alexander, I mean, he's amazing. Okay. Like, I'm surprised Schoberg doesn't have his white Jaire Alexander jersey on. I've got my signed Jaire football back there. I mean, he is just absolutely Ridley was, I saw he was targeted 5 times while Jaire was covering him, 0 interceptions. And Jaire had him on lockdown like 24 out of the 28 like coverage snaps that were against Calvin Ridley. So like, what did Calvin Ridley have coming into that game? Like 130 yards and a touchdown, like 3 straight games with 100 plus yards and or a touchdown. And he had a donut against Jaire Alexander. So all pro year that everybody's been talking about, he's been talking about, like, yeah, it's here, guys. Jaire Alexander is an all pro.
You hear those beeps in the background?
I don't.
That's Green Bay backing up the truck, getting ready to pay Jaire Alexander.
Because
it's,
huh?
Yeah. it's not going to be cheap.
Pay the man. No. Pay the man.
Nor should it be. Nor should it be. He's deserved it. And it's just, you know, I kind of forgot about that. We did the Pack-A-Day podcast on Monday night late, and I was going through and listening to the next day. I'm like, we didn't say a word about Jaire Alexander. And it was just kind of one of those games where, like, Julio went out and you expected it to be a matchup. And by the time he had gone out, it was the second half and the Packers kind of ran away with it. But, like, and all of a sudden that random receiver's going off for them. Like, it's just, I kind of forgot about it. And it was kind of overshadowed by Za'Darius Smith. And it was overshadowed by the offensive big plays they hadn't going for on fourth down at that long drive in the first half. Big donut, Gary. That's with sprinkles and chocolate frosting. The good stuff. The good stuff.
So we've been pretty positive thus far.
We have.
But our one guy, Bowman, has really wanted to come around for a lot. So as long as I've known him.
Here we go.
Where the hell is Josh Jackson?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I know he hasn't really taken advantage of some of those opportunities, right? Like, I did see in the game that there were some injuries in the secondary. Kevin King was out with a quad. Mm-hmm. They pulled him out. And he was out there and he gets a holding call, you know, like kind of it's not about his talent. It's about his technique. And, you know, he was on the outside. They didn't put him in the slot, which is good, because we talked about that in the offseason, like that. I hope when and if he gets his opportunities, it's on the outside, playing in a more zone capacity. You know, it's really hard to say when you see guys like Chandon Sullivan going in ahead of him, when you see guys like Vernon Scott going in ahead and getting snaps. And, you know, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to his snaps, but what I did see just seemed kind of average, you know. And I don't know that he did anything in that game to say, you know, he's the next man up if Kevin King goes down. But, you know, it's not a question of talent. Like I said, I am still a Josh Jackson believer, and, you know, I always will be, because I was hyped about that guy coming out of the draft, and you see it, you see the ability there. I think it's just a matter of working on that technique. He's still a raw player from what I see on the tape. I don't know. Schoberg, what do you think?
So I remember one play from Josh Jackson's Monday night debacle against Atlanta. He went in, and the Packers played zone. They played to his strengths. That's what you do. You play to your best player's strengths, right? They come in, he plays zone. He makes one bad read. He played an underneath coverage when a guy busted loose deep. Could have been a deep completion. Wasn't. Thank you, Matt Ryan. Anyway, he was immediately pulled, and Kadar Holman took his spot. And that's where the trust level is at right now with Josh Jackson in the game. You make one mental error, one mental lapse, and it doesn't even cost the team. They're pulling you anyway, because you got to know that stuff by now in your third year.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I like Josh Jackson. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm in the same boat as Bowman was when he was coming out of Iowa. Like, I thought he was a first round grade. I was ecstatic when they got value with him later in the draft. But, like, I think it's one of those things that's why he went later in the draft. It was just that he didn't have that quickness, that speed that you want to have. And, like, his teammate Desmond King's doing pretty damn good for the Chargers right now. And, like, it's just, I just don't think he's quick enough. I think that's just really what it comes down to. But we won't turn this PWW Live into a bash Josh Jackson or resurrection show by no means. But before we get into the bye week preview, any last thoughts between week one and week four, gentlemen?
Hey, man, the Packers are 4-0. I had them 3-1 going into the bye when we did our previews, Matt. I think you did too, and we had like different games that we had picked, yep. Maybe. But, man, 4-0 going into the bye. This offense is so fun to watch. I think we were talking at some point. We just said, like, I don't know what play they're going to call. I don't know what route that guy's going to run. That's awesome. It's exciting. It jacks me up, man. So I don't know. I think this team is going to be a special team. I felt that last year in Matt LaFleur's first year, like just the team and the way that they gelled and the way that they won some of those close games. Now you're seeing it all come together, and now you're seeing the plan come to fruition. And I don't see a team in the NFL that I'm scared of that the Packers can't beat. I'm not saying they're going undefeated. I'm just saying there isn't a team out there that scares me, especially in the NFC. I think they are the lead dog. So
I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's wrong, to be honest. It's just because of the lack. I mean, Seattle's super tough. Like, don't give me like, I would have loved to see, or even the Cowboys. They're decent right now. Like, they got stuff to figure out on, you know, but you look at the Chiefs, they were so against, I mean, really, like, they should have kicked the shit out of the Patriots. Like, with, I don't know, Stidham got a run and Brian Hoyer. You weren't even playing with Cam. Like, dominate that game. I'm not too, I mean, they're good. But yeah, I mean, I like what the Packers are doing. I think they take any offense on the heels, or any defense on the heels. Schober, you look like you were disagreeing.
No, I'm just kind of thinking of teams in the NFL. There's no team in the NFC that scares me this year.
Not the Seahawks?
No, I think the Packers right now have the Seahawks number.
Okay.
Russell Wilson just seems to always kind of collapse against Green Bay for whatever reason. But I will say Baltimore and Kansas City, I don't think Green Bay beats 2 out of 3. Now, that's where the NFL is different, obviously. You only play one game, and that one game is all that counts. But I see major issues with our defense trying to either, one, contain Lamar Jackson. That doesn't happen. Or two, try to slow down Pat Mahomes, as we got a little bit lucky last year with Matt Moore being at the helm for Kansas City. But those two teams do scare me out of the AFC.
Josh Jackson and Matt Moore slander show. So let's get into the bye week overview, right? So these next topics are going to go pretty fast. Obviously, week 1 through 4, a little bit more to talk about. But right now, you guys, I think I don't know if you've noticed, but Aaron Rodgers has been on the Pat McAfee show recently. I love the Pat McAfee show on Tuesdays. I used to watch it all the time because I have an option. I can just have it up on YouTube at work and just listen to it all day, but kind of put that to the side. Now I'm only focusing on the Tuesdays, but God, that's fun. Like, I don't know if you guys catch that shit. It is fantastic. Like, he's given you more than he's ever gave, you know, from his perspective and his like perception. However, he's also kind of keeping some stuff close to the chest. So in that same breath, he talked about how they prepare in week, you know, bye weeks. You don't necessarily look towards the following week already. You kind of review yourself, right? You do a little bit self-analysis. That's what he spoke about on Tuesday when he was on the show. And it's really just a time to really reflect. And, you know, there's no reason. What would be the point of looking towards, you know, Tampa Bay already? Who knows what's going to happen? Because they're playing tonight, Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that later on. But, like, Chris Godwin's banged up. Mike Evans is going to play. Leonard Fournette's been banged up. Like, it doesn't really make sense to look at the team until maybe after their game tonight, or, you know, it just doesn't make sense at this point. But two questions for both of you. I'll answer after. We'll start with Bowman. First question is, what are you looking at for the Packers to improve on? Aaron Rodgers talked about self-reflection and stuff. Is there something specifically that we haven't already touched on and beat the hell out of, like the run defense? But is there something that you look at, maybe special teams, offensive play calling, maybe some, you know, just fundamentals on defense? Bowman, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and I mean, the first thing that would come to mind is tackling. You know, they for sure, you can call run defense, pass, like everywhere on the field, they need to tackle better. And you can't, unfortunately, I think it was Aaron Nagler asked Matt LaFleur about that a couple of weeks ago, where he said, like, are you tempted after seeing the poor effort with tackling to go to some live tackling drills? And Matt LaFleur was like, like, so it, you know, there,
0%.
I'm not gonna do that. So, you know, I think that's going to improve over the bye week? No. One thing I would like, if they're self-scouting and they're looking for opportunities on the offensive side of the ball to improve, it's in short yardage, and it's in not so much the plays that they're calling, although, you know, shotgun run on fourth and one is like never a thing that I will enjoy watching, regardless of who the coaching staff is. I'm not a fan of that, but the personnel. Get A.J. Dillon in there doing what A.J. Dillon does and get those A.J. Dillon legs some work, you know, like he will get you the 1 yard. I virtually guarantee you, even on a poorly blocked play right up the gut, A.J. Dillon is going to get you a yard. So if they're self-scouting, that would be my number one thing. Short yardage offense, because really, other than that, on the offensive side of the ball, I don't have anything to complain about. They've executed perfectly called game plans. Rodgers is on fire. They have weapons that can step up in any type of game plan, and they can beat you in a multitude of ways. So, you know, it's just some of those critical times where it's fourth and one or fourth and goal, and you need that 1 yard. I would just like to see better play calling and better usage of personnel.
And we talked about that. I mean, not to plug self plug again, but we talked about that on Pack-A-Day. You know, the night after the Monday night football game, and Dan brought it up to me. He's a big Madden guy, Dan Kotnick. And he's like, in no scenario, virtual football, regular NFL, do you call a fourth and one play and you run the ball out of shotgun? No one does that. That is the dumbest thing ever. And Matt LaFleur yesterday in the press conference, he actually talked about that, how he's like, I probably should have called timeout. that play literally got blown up from the start. It had no opportunity to go. And that was, you know, that was his answer to basically the political answer of saying, that's why we didn't give AJ Dillon the ball. Like, we didn't give AJ Dillon the ball. It's, you know, they basically asked him, like, do you think AJ Dillon should have got the carry? He's like, well, hindsight, we never should have called the play. So good answer from Matt LaFleur. He's really figuring his stuff out. But I would say for me, it's tackling. That's number one. Number two, short yardage is fine. I really have enjoyed the chemistry that Rodgers has with his weapons, or even the ones that aren't there as often, but it's definitely number one for me is tackling. Schoberg, what do you got, dude? Are you thinking short yardage is an issue? Are you agreeing with us that tackling is the biggest problem? Mason Crosby, is he on the hot seat? He misses an extra point.
Mason Crosby's not on the hot seat, but I would say not so much short yardage, but just in the red zone in general. Our offense is like a well-oiled machine from 20 to 20. You get a lot of motion. You get a lot of spacing. You get inside the 20s, you don't get to do all that motion and all that spacing. The field really compacts, gets tight, all that good stuff. But, yeah, personnel. You guys were talking personnel. Get your guys in the right spot to succeed. Mm-hmm. If you don't put A.J. Dillon in on a short yardage, what did you take him for? Obviously, you don't need him for his rookie year. If you let Aaron Jones walk, you have a guy right there to step in. But essentially, why did you draft this guy if you don't even use him in a situation like that? What was your second question? I'm trying to think on the fly.
I only hit you with one. I didn't want to overwhelm you. Sometimes I feel like I can do that with my question. So my second question is, most important person to come back from injury. Obviously, bye week, we always look at it as it's like, you know, great, we get to get healthy, right? Not a lot of people look at it, the schematic, like Aaron Rodgers mentioned on the show. So that was that, going into it before we record, I was like, well, easy question is, who's the most important person to come back from injury? Schoberg, who do you think?
Best player, maybe Devontae, but for me, that's not the case as far as most important guy to come back. I think Matt LaFleur, like I was talking about earlier, has shown the ability to scheme this offense to success with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. You can put anyone in any position and they will look good. It's just a matter of those guys staying healthy. Then you don't really have the bodies behind them. If they were to get injured, if you had a guy like Devontae in there or Alan Lazard or anything of those sorts, but I'm going to go the other way here. I'm going to go Kenny Clark. He is super vital to what this defense needs to do on As far as the run defense side, he creates a lot of opportunities for linebackers, eats up blocks, and even gets stops himself. But then he creates a lot of opportunities for the pass rush. He can stop moving Z in every single play, and you can really have him play that hybrid defensive role where you move him in sometimes, but you have him rush from the outside sometimes. And then you get a guy like Preston Smith, who has had a really down year thus far, getting after the quarterback a little more from the other side, and then you kind of plug in Rashawn Gary wherever he's needed, and you have that bona fide pass rush back when Kenny Clark's back. So I think he's the most vital guy to come back for this team, although the argument could be made for Devontae, but I just think that the schematics overpower that.
No doubt. And it's like, I would probably say Devontae, and again, we're turning this into a Josh Jackson, Devontae Adams slander show, and I don't remember who the other guy. We're just crushing people tonight. It's not great, but I would have said Devontae at about 7 o'clock on Monday night, and then they go out and do what they did with essentially second and third string receivers and run the hell out of the ball. And Jamal Williams has a career game with 8 catches, 95 yards. So it's got to be Kenny Clark for me, because like you mentioned, Zadarius having his hand in the dirt all the time, or more often than we want him to, doesn't make sense. Like, granted, he had a great play when he blew up the left guard and strip sacked for his third sack, thinking we got the ball back, but Matt Ryan fell right on it. But I don't like the need to have Zadarius play inside all the time. I think it's great to have the option. But yeah, Preston Smith also just a little underwhelming for me, little suspect in pass coverage. But Bowman. Geez, cut. Wow. Bowman, what are your thoughts, my man? Biggest injury, first to come back for week 6 in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so I mean, it is Kenny Clark, but you know, I think for argument's sake, I'll go a different direction just to give a different option. And I think you guys mentioned that Preston Smith hasn't had, you know, a great start to the season coming off the edge, at least not in terms of what he was able to do last year. So I'm going to say Rashawn Gary. What we saw from him in the first few games before he got injured was really good. Like, he was actually the Packers' best edge rusher from any grading metric that you want to use. It was him. And I think he is primed for this year. I think he still has 1.5 or 2 sacks and a lot of pressures, a couple of QB hits. And, you know, what he adds from a versatility standpoint, if Preston Smith is not a go, or even if he is, they can get all three of those guys on the field. And I think having all three of those guys on the field, in addition to Kenny Clark, adds an element to that front seven that just it's a completely different front seven with those two guys in the equation. So yeah, it's Kenny Clark because he is the heart and soul of that front. But you know, Rashawn Gary is not far behind Zadarius Smith from an impact player standpoint in this defense this year. So you know, honorable mention to Kevin King. He had that quad injury, looked like he was okay, and they were just kind of holding him out because that game was getting out of hand. But you know, we need him as well. We saw Josh Jackson and we saw Kadar Holman out there on the outside, which is great in a pinch, but I don't think that's who you want in line up across from Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or Rob Gronkowski. You know, like, we need Kevin King healthy there too. So, you know, lots of good options there. That's my number one thing. Bye week, get healthy. Because anybody complaining about a week 5 bye in the offseason is not complaining about it now. Like, we need it.
Just briefly, too, Rashawn Gary's major strength plays to this defense's major weakness. He is the number one graded run edge rush defender, if that makes sense. So, so he plays the run better than any edge defender in the league, which plays to this defense's weakness perfectly. You get him out there to assist some of those guys, Kenny Lancaster, Montrevious Adams, Kiki, and all those guys in the middle. It can help out a lot.
That's definitely so. Let's get to it. Week 6, right? After we figure out the stuff we got to fix, week 5 bye week, get some healthy guys back down in Tampa Bay, 3:25 game. I would imagine, you know, we're going to get a good preview tonight of them playing the Bears. It'll be nice to check out Tim Brady in live action with whatever team he's got out there right now, right? They're 3-1, looking pretty decent thus far. I would say the first week of the season was suspect. Last week he throws the pick 6, but I mean, it's just, what are you guys thinking? We had this one circled. I'm a little bit down on it compared to what I was to start the year, and maybe that was just my expectations for the Buccaneers was super high, but they're still, I mean, they're really damn good. I think I saw a stat this week that the Tampa Bay run defense is number one right now. Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh, Devin White to fill that middle at linebacker. I mean, that's pretty tough running defense. Expectations show we're down in Tampa Bay in a couple, I guess, week and a half here.
Yeah, their defense against the Green Bay's offense, they're in the top five in most statistical categories on the defensive side of the ball, and where Green Bay is number one through three in most categories on the offensive side of the ball. So I think seeing that chess game go back and forth between Levante David at the line of scrimmage versus Aaron Rodgers will be really fun. One of the generation's best middle linebackers that you don't ever hear talked about up here in the NFC North, Levante David, and then him just making calls in response to the calls that Aaron Rodgers is already making will be really fun to watch. It kind of reminds me of a couple of years ago when Cam Newton was making adjustments at the line. Clay Matthews says, "Hey, hey, it's the wheel route. It's the wheel route." And Cam Newton says, "Oh yeah, you've been watching film. Watch this."
And then he just runs. And then Christian McCaffrey just runs a little Texas route, a little angle route.
It's exactly. Just that chess match that goes on at the line of scrimmage will be really fun during this game, just because of the two guys with the headsets in their in the helmets at all times. Another thing I'm looking forward to, how can you not? Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Obviously, both are a little bit older now. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is playing a little bit better, but hey, Tom Brady in his career. Not in his career. Tom Brady, this season, two pick sixes. Aaron Rodgers, two in his whole career.
It's crazy.
Tom Brady, not my GOAT. That's all I have to say. Not my GOAT.
Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT, okay? In a like tie with Brett Favre and Bart Starr in my heart.
Holy cats.
Like, come on.
Don Majkowski?
Let me just take off my Homer glasses. Not Don Majkowski. You know, thank you to Don Majkowski for paving the way for Brett Favre, though. That was great of him. The Magic Man, Don Majkowski. I actually watched that guy play. I don't know if you guys did. That's how old I am.
Missed it.
But, okay, so Tampa Bay. Jaire Alexander is going to get a pick six on Tom Brady when Tom Brady tries to throw one of his little crappy screen routes out to the outside to a wide receiver, which people still try and do to Jaire Alexander for some reason. So he's either going to blow that play up. I think Jaire gets a pick six off the GOAT, Tom Brady. But I think the Packers can win this game. This is not going to be an easy game for sure. And the bye week is somewhat nullified by the scheduling here, right? So we got Tampa Bay going into Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. They're coming into a team on the bye, but they're going to be on 10 days of rest too. So kind of takes a little bit of that advantage out. But I mean, this is more about what can the Packers do on the bye, get healthy. And I think if they're healthy and they have their players, they can impose their will on whoever they want to, at least offensively. And if they can get Tampa Bay into a one-dimensional game, you know, then I think that favors the Packers. So I'm going to say the Packers come out with a win. I think I still predicted this as a win in our preview, Matt, and I'm sticking to my guns on that. I like I said, there's not a team in the NFC that I don't think the Packers can beat, and Tampa Bay's no different.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the game too. I look towards maybe the running game. I'm not sure Leonard Fournette, if he's healthy, Ronald Jones, like he's had a decent year to start, but like, I'm not too worried about those guys, but there's been surprising people to attack the Packers from the run scenario over the years or in the last two or three. So interesting game. We'll see what maybe the weather does. I know there's a hurricane going on there soon. So who knows if that'll pass through. My buddy Flores Forrest hopping in here. I mean, that's fair. I don't know about that. I personally like Tom Brady quite a bit, and he can definitely suck one. Go Pack, go. Thanks, Forrest, dude, chiming in. Schoberg's jacked tonight. I mean, honestly, he said he was tired before the show, but he is just dialed in right now. Alex Stroh, friend of the show. I mean, it could be because he's just drinking some good beverages. I'm not sure, but people chiming in here. So, guys, let's not wait any longer, all right?
The moment has arrived.
Everyone that's still here is here for probably Schoberg's good looks or at least the giveaway. Now, regardless of your intentions of here, we have, to be honest, I mean, I think Schoberg, tell how many people. So Schoberg went through this afternoon, and figured out how many people were eligible for the giveaway. Do you have a rough estimate, Schoberg, of like how many people, like from they had to retweet the tweet? Like it, follow our page, Packers Worldwide on Twitter. What was the? Where were we sitting?
I think if you win this raffle tonight, if you want to call it a raffle, you had a one in roughly 350 chance. One out of 350 chance to win this. Math is
hard. It's okay. Like, and that's what I thought too. I was looking at it, I'm like, how the heck do we get 350 people to interact with this? But shout out to Bowman for the idea. I honestly did not think this would go the way it did, but we reached our goal of what was it, 1,000 people for the mat? Well, for the mask giveaway and the other one, I mean, we had two mask giveaways, but 1,500 for the jersey. So I have all of the entries, believe it or not, in this hat. Every single one. Printed it out. Got them all in there. Schoberg sent me it over. So it would be really foolish of me not to show off the jersey, at least to really
just let them know. Your green screen.
Oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be really – actually, that's not too bad. I mean, it's going to get worse with the green screen. But Jordan Love home jersey, what do we got here? It's a large, very just, yep, see, good. The sticker will stand. I mean, it's a decent size. You can either layer it up or not or whatever, but is the Nike version of the jersey as well. Of course, we're not going Reebok or Starter. That would be super dope, or Champs. But had a ton of entries. We appreciate everyone at least following us, interacting with us over the last few weeks and months as we've led up to the season. Canadian accent, shout out Alex Strofe.
I thought he was talking to me, and I took offense to that at first. And I'm
I haven't heard any strong accents yet.
Schoberg's Minnesota accent. Apparently, my accent only comes out when I say specific Canadian words.
Yes,
to you guys.
Big time. So. But that the Dakota dialect is perfect, so we don't have any accent there.
Okay, fair.
I digress. 1,500 more, absolutely.
We'll get there, Alex.
Plug us a little bit, would you? But anyways, we had a bunch of entries, gave away two face masks, Susan and Dwayne. They've already been rocking them, showing us. But time for the Jordan Love jersey. We appreciate everyone chiming in, retweeting us, giving us some exposure, and just basically finding some new Packers fans out there. You know, at this point, if you do unfollow us, fair enough. At least you got some, opportunity and some maybe endorphins kicking that you could have possibly won the jersey. But I'm gonna pull the name here. What is it? 1 in 350. While I'm doing that, Schoberg, in your head, figure out the percentage that it could have been if 1 in 350.
All right. So about 0.3 chance.
Yeah. All right. Winner, Jordan Love jersey, is Connor Casey. Now, here's the deal. I doubt Connor's in the chat right now. It would be crazy if all 1,500 plus followers are actually watching us on stream. What everyone needs to do that's listening is they need to not only retweet this tweet I'm going to put out right now so we can actually get Connor's attention, but just start tagging Connor in some of our tweets, letting him know he won it. That'll make our lives a little easier to track this young man down. I believe he's from Tennessee, something along those lines. If I pull up his Twitter,
He's a Kentucky guy.
Rough joke. He's a Kentucky guy. So let's tag him. Let's let him know he won the jersey. I can already see our views dropping here as we release this. But shout out to Connor. Shout out to everyone that was able to at least hang in there with us. And congratulations on winning the jersey. Like, why? I mean, awesome. We'll be definitely doing more giveaways. Bowman's the founder of this thing. So, Bowman, what do we got coming for people in the future? You said a couple of things for YouTube.
What
are we thinking? Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, this worked out really well. We got a bunch of new followers, coming along and kind of joining us for the ride on our journey through Packers fandom here. So that's been super awesome to see. Lots of people engaged. So we're going to do more giveaways. And I think the next giveaway is going to be for a YouTube-specific giveaway. We've got a lot of followers on Twitter. We've got a lot of followers on Facebook right now. Instagram's doing great. But I think where we really need to focus is right on YouTube. So if you are watching this, go to our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel because we're going to be doing some exclusive giveaways there. We'll still do some giveaways on Twitter. We're going to be doing stuff all year. But I think the next big one is going to be a YouTube specific.
Has
so maybe we should just drop our YouTube channel link here in
get after it
in the comments here. I'll drop that out there. So make sure you guys are all liking and subscribing this video and liking and subscribing our channel there for the next giveaway.
And as we normally do these PWW Lives, I like to do them on Thursdays, preview the Thursday Night Football. Obviously, we're dipping in a little bit of their broadcast time, but Tampa Bay versus Chicago. I know Bowman and I like to at least talk about some fantasy football relevant stuff. I mean, it is a Chicago game, so it's a little bit more relevant than last week when I think, what did we have? Dolphins, Jets or something shitty, or was it Bengals? I don't even remember. Bengals, Jets, was it? Like, so this game's a little bit more interesting. Maybe a couple more headlines, but I have no fantasy ramifications in this game. I think I might be playing against Chris Godwin, but it's Thursday. I mean, it's football and it's there. But any predictions on this game? You guys think Nick Foles has a bounce back game
against that defense? No. Like, I think that defense on its own can stop the run against Chicago. Not that Matt Nagy would try and run the ball anyways, but I think they'll be able to shut him down and make Nick Foles and probably by the third quarter Mitch Trubisky one dimensional. But you know, somebody has to lose this game and they're both 3-1. So that's the way I'm looking at it, is one of these teams that's vying for that top spot in the NFC is going to have another loss on their belt or a tie, which, you know, for most of the time is the same thing. It's from a fantasy. I got no one going on and I'm not going against anybody. The only two guys I've got in my like super deep 16 team pirate league is like Cordero Patterson, and he's sitting on my bench. So this is going to be like
another versatile guy.
Exactly. So this is going to be a pure, like, just watch football because I love football kind of game. And I'm probably cheering for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because the Bears suck and they always will. And I always want them to suck. So that's where
what I'm cheering for tonight is my money. So
what do you got going? You got a bet going?
We're having a good year so far, boys. Through 3 weeks, we're up we're up a good amount of money so far, but we have two. I doiled it. So Doyle, you get 6 points on each side of the bet, and then you have to hit both sides. So I have Tulane versus Houston going over 53 to the Tampa Bay Chicago under 50, and then we're going to go Tampa Bay -3.5. So I think the game started already, but if you can get with your local bookie and put in Tampa Bay -3.5, your winnings, not losings, but your winnings are on me. Will not pay your bet for you though. So put that asterisk right next to that. Go Tampa Bay. Hope they get their fourth win. Chicago gets their second loss, and then Tampa Bay can get their second loss next week. Isn't it funny how that all works out?
Is Houston? Do you say Houston and Tulane?
Yeah.
Houston, is that Conference USA? Like, you're betting on Conference USA Thursday?
Conference
night
USA action, baby.
That's concerning, maybe.
I love it. Like, that's where you get that action, right? Like, I mean, there's
sure. Nobody action. That's Maction. We can't get into the Mac here.
It's different. My betting, just real quick, has gone significantly down this year. I only have one fantasy league. I don't have any accounts that I'm doing anything right now, but there's definitely been a couple that I'm disappointed I didn't put any action on. But I'm excited for the game too. I think Tampa Bay probably smoke Chicago. I'd be surprised if – I mean, I'm interested to see what they do without Tariq Cohen. I want to see Montgomery out there run the ball. Scotty Miller, who's a receiver for the Bucs, he's having the last couple – two good weeks all of a sudden with Evans being banged up. Godwin, see if he gets into action tonight. But overall, I think Tampa Bay wins this game. Tampa Bay seems to me like a solid 3-1. Bears definitely are a fake 3-1 little pig with lipstick on, in my opinion. But as we wrap up here, we're almost wrapping up in an hour here. Do you have something, Bowman, quick?
No, I was just going to say, okay, like a 3 dressed up as a 9, but that's just going to date me even more. I don't know if you guys know
that. Like, it's like when you go like this and a girl's standing on her own. She's standing with a group of girls. You go like this. She looks like an 8. Then you go like this, and all of a sudden she's like a 4 or 5 because of the group.
Then how could you understand her personality, though? So that is Ryan Schoberg, as he just lets everyone know, at Ryan_Schoberg. You can find him on Twitter.
You can get at him on that one.
At him. Tweet at him for all of your concerning.
Slide right in.
Go ahead. To my side is, of course, Ryan Bowman, at Ryan Bowman, PWW, founder of Packers Worldwide and everything reigning under it. Awesome show today, guys. Really great job. I, of course, am Matt Fralick, at Matt_Fray_. Get it. Thank you. I love the haters. Get a hold of all of us on Twitter. We love interacting. I know just any questions you guys have, anything you want us to talk about on the podcast, any or the lives, any suggestions.
I've got something. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Schoberg's that sent me a retweet about people under 200 followers just be tweeting into the void. Okay, so our account has 1,500 followers, and I'm the founder, and I'm sitting here at I think 181, and Schoberg's trolling me here on my followers. So come on, get at Ryan Bowman PWW, follow me on Twitter.
I'm crying.
So that Schoberg can get off my case about my weak Twitter following, guys. Please help a brother.
Well, he was all tired and stuff, and all of a sudden he's just full of piss and vinegar tonight. Like he's just coming after us.
When aren't we full of piss and vinegar? But yeah, hey, Ryan really be tweeting into the void.
Into the void. Thankfully, we've got 1,500 on followers on Packers Worldwide to retweet my tweets that go into the void. So, you know, that's the, but it would be nice if I didn't need the help, and you guys, if you love what we do, you know, it's mostly, similar opinions. I'm a little bit of a nerd, but give me a follow on Twitter, check it out, and make sure you're following Ryan Schoberg and Matt Freilich and our fourth member of the team who's not on here today, Kieran Sprecher. He's, he's doing a lot of great writing for us on the site as well.
Yeah, you guys stay connected with us. Obviously, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Check us out all of our lives, PWW halftimes, all of our articles. Check out the website as well. But like I said, for Ryan Schoberg, Ryan Bowman, I am Matt Freilich. You guys be well and stay cool, all you cool cats and kittens.
Guys, we're good.
Yes, we are.
Listening to Packers Worldwide Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, and share with other Packer fans around the world.
We don't need no double lock, because we all know the Bears still suck!
That was awkward.